Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 470. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Scott Duff.
Hello, Scotty D.
Hello, Amy M.
You are appropriately dressed in black because this has been a downer of a week, and we are going to make this a celebration of a podcast, but it has been a very sad week, at least in my life.
Oh, and mine too.
And yours
I think
too.
In gay men across the world.
Gay men across the world, which is kind of where I fall into the gay man tract
of the
GLBT community. But that Donna Summer, original name was LaDonna Gaines.
I know, but...
Donna Summer passed away.
I know.
Who knew she had cancer?
I did not.
She did not call
and
tell.
I know, and I would be there.
I would be there.
I would be there for her.
I would be there for her, too, for The Last Dance. Man, what? Oh, I mean, I feel like it's... This is when I start feeling old, because I feel...
Oh, I know. We've, like, my childhood is going away.
Going away. I mean, that Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston's more my adolescence, not my childhood. Michael Jackson, really, my childhood into adolescence.
Oh, yeah,
and Donna Summer, my childhood.
Oh, I was roller skating in my basement, swinging around a pole, singing about bad girls. It's just, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. There's something about, like, you know, if to get intellectual for 1 second,
Let's go.
Marcel Proust.
Yeah,
I know. Marcel Proust.
Okay.
He was a gay. A French gay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died really horribly. Anyway, but he wrote about how, about memory and how that when music, when memory is attached to music, that it really makes a stronger connection to an actual place and point of time. And there's something I totally agree with
that.
And
I think gay people are so attached to music.
Oh, yeah. Right? Well, it's about our culture. I mean, maybe
and
we
our
the
subculture,
bars.
Right?
Yeah. But there was something about, like, listening to those songs, like, disco in general, I just love. Because there isn't a sad disco song. Like, everybody's happy. Even when they're sad, they're happy that they are sad. And when they're mad, they're happy to be mad.
Yeah.
And when they see a bad girl, they're going to toot toot, hey, beep beep.
Yeah. Gonna get some Scott Duff, baby.
I know,
this
and my name fits so perfectly into one
of
her songs.
We always used to, you know, sing the.
Looking for some Scott Duff, baby, this evening.
We're still gonna be looking for some Scott Duff.
Well, you can find me,
lady tonight.
Look out, yeah.
I mean, I, you know, my brother was 7 years older than me. Sorry.
He still is.
Sorry, Hank. He is still 7 years. Even though he looks younger these days, we will not tell your trade secrets, Hank. But, you know, and my brother, his bedroom was literally right next door to mine. And my brother was really into hi-fi equipment. And so he had the turntables and all of the speakers and everything was big, right?
Oh,
you were creating your own studio, dance studio, recording studio, concert hall.
Little Studio 54 in your bedroom.
In your bedroom, uh-huh. in Cleveland, Tennessee. And he, you know, he loved Donna Summer. He loved all, like, soul, R&B, black women singers. He loved, and when Donna Summer kind of came on the scene or came into consciousness for me, I don't remember. I mean, I just remember we had all of her albums, or I should say he had all of her albums, therefore we had all of her albums.
Exactly.
And it was playing in the house all the time. I will never forget when On the Radio 1 and 2 came out, the big double CD, which I still work out and run to. I did, like, week before she passed away.
I like the way she says radio. It kind of comes out as radio.
Radio.
There's no age. Radio.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So good. And what was so great was, like, the first 9 songs just had one beat that then sped up or slowed down from song to song. So it's the perfect workout and running. So if you want a little homage and you're going to the gym, Donna Summer On the Radio, the first part 1 is, like, the best workout album. It even has a nice warm up and cool down. But I just remember, being... You know, I remember I was obviously so much younger, but I was would stand on the bed and we would sing, and, you know, we would sing No More Tears, Enough is Enough, and we'd each take on parts, and I mean, it was the one playland where I got to be with my brother and also sing Donna Summer and be an entertainer,
right.
Which was, like, my first thought of ever entertaining anybody was through her. I guarantee you she was the first one.
I just remember her popping up all the time, like, on Solid Gold.
I love Solid Gold.
And really, to think about Solid Gold and all that, those sorts of, like, you know, American Bandstand type things,
yeah.
Really just, again, to get serious, to kind of, like, allowing, like, a woman of color,
right,
to come into your home and have power, because, like, she was making you dance,
yeah,
you know, and making you feel really, really good, yeah. And just, and how beautiful, she was so beautiful, and she worked hard for the money.
She did work hard for the money. Oh. I think what was wonderful about her is that, you know, there are a lot of dance, like, I don't know, like, dance songs, like, you know, the great disco songs I think of were, like, Ring My Bell, I loved.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom! But, you know, they're all... I don't know why I'm just thinking of that song. And definitely I Will Survive, which many people think is Donna Summer. It's not. It's Gloria Gaynor. But all the gays know that. I would think straight people might think I Will Survive was Donna Summer. But besides I Will Survive, most of the songs were about dancing, get down, boogie, oogie, oogie.
Yeah.
They were just about dancing and having fun. And hers were really, like, narrative. They had these stories. And it was so interesting because when... Love to Love You Baby came out.
Oh, dear Lord. That song, like, still makes me feel kind of dirty.
It still
every
makes me feel
time.
Dirty.
Like,
it's so sexy and totally crazy, right? And I heard somewhere the other day, and I forgot about this because it's not on her greatest hits. It's not the full song. But when the full song came out, it was a 17.5-minute song. So it was
Lady.
Sex. It was having sex.
It was having sex for 17 minutes.
17 minutes. And I know we had it. I know we had that full 17-minute album. So I probably learned how you're supposed to have sex or what it's supposed to sound like from Donna Summer. I don't know if that made me a little gay, but it made me
made you sexy.
Little gay.
Made
I think it made
sexy.
Me a little gay. Made me a little sexy.
Yeah.
And I also remember when I think it came to the Carmike Theater and not the Village Theater, because those were our only two movie theaters besides the drive-in, which I still miss, and we should do a whole podcast on my obsession with drive-ins.
Okay.
But when she was in Thank God It's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And she was in the movie, and we had the Thank God It's Friday album, and of course the Village people were in that, and I don't know, or at least were on the soundtrack. And that was the great time of soundtracks, right? Like Saturday Night Fever, Thank God It's Friday. I mean, I had Can't Stop the Music from the Village People, too, which, you know, Do the Shake.
Dear Lord,
Do the Shake. That... The Milkshake, Do the Shake. That was the chorus. I mean, inspired writing here.
Yeah, well, let's think about what the shake is here going on, you know?
I never thought of that to this very
Lord,
this moment.
Like, they,
he just, the, like, jerked off with his hand.
Wow. Thank you.
I was saying.
There you go. But the whole...
I mean, you
anyway,
didn't really jerk
quick
off.
Little side yes. note. You know, yes. The Village People I Love is, like, a joke that yes. America got 20
yes.
years later.
20 years later.
Like, what? They were gay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you kidding me? They're walking the fetish. But yeah, so Milkshake, I think, at YMCA, you can hang out with all the boys? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And have a milkshake.
Yeah. It was
and bring all the boys to the yard.
Yeah, Can't Stop the Music was their Sgt. Pepper moment.
It really was. It was their master opus.
Right. But I remember going to see that movie, and I was so excited because, you know, she was the very final, the final moment, or I haven't seen that movie in 25, 30 years, but my recollection of the final moment, once again, these are all my memories, so I might be wrong, but my recollection of the final moment of the movie is, you know, the disco. Mm-hmm. And I was so young, and I couldn't go to a disco.
So glamorous.
And it was so glamorous, right? And she had a 45 of her cut of, like, her song, and she wanted to get played. And at the end, you know, she got to sing in the disco, and she
was discovered. Loved
it. It was the final moment. She was, like, the young ingenue of the film, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was one of those first time, too, that I think a singer was also being kind of placed in a movie as a movie role. Not a great movie.
Well,
not like a movie musical or something like that, but right. Like she was crossing over. She was trying to do
different trying
genres.
To do her thing, you know. They were also, I think they were kind of grooming her to be Diana Ross of the disco era.
Yeah.
And again, like, the thing that's also, we can't just pigeonhole her into disco because she kept going.
Yeah.
After disco died, Pop. Donna Summer kept going on.
She sure did.
You know, in the 80s. In the 80s. And then recently she had that she sang that one opera song. Do you remember?
The opera song?
Yeah, some opera thing that, you know, poop, that Aretha Franklin did, which is just weird.
VC D'Arte?
Yeah.
That's what Aretha Franklin did.
Yeah, but I think she did that one too. This is just a recollection.
Yeah. I don't know. I do know she's done a lot of gospel music in her latter life. You know, she was doing gospel music. She did a holiday album. She did some of that stuff.
But you see, I mean, that's when you know that the measure of a true artist, like what you were saying, like her songs were, they were fun and disco-y, but she just kept going because she had to sing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, she had a fantastic, fantastic voice and spirit that captured a time, but also was timeless. And I feel like disco in general, and I also feel this because So You Think You Can Dance is going to start up here again because it's summertime and I love it, but they always have a disco category, and it's really hard. They have to have a guy and a girl who are super athletic, and the guy has to be
have
a lot of upper body strength and usually gymnastics. And but disco music is like taken as just fluff, and that it's not good, and that it doesn't stand the test of time. And you know, the Bee Gees, I think, got that with Saturday Night Fever, but then they started writing for so many other people that it was kind of. I still think there are people who are like, the Bee Gees, what, you know? But if you watched American Idol just a couple weeks ago, Joshua sang that Bee Gees song that like brought down the house, you know, and made it so current. There were great songwriters, and Donna Summer wrote a lot of her music. And, you know, and so it was timeless. And you just kind of think, well, there was this bad stigma against disco. And so did she ever really get her proper due? Like, I don't know that she's seen kind of in the grandness of a Patti LaBelle or grandness of a Diana Ross.
True.
Or any of her male counterparts, you know, in some ways. And, you know, in my 80-year-old father, when I was, you know, she died while I was in Tennessee, so I was right there. I called my brother. As you said, I was maybe one of the first people you saw.
I know, I found out because of
Facebook.
You.
Oh. And I found out because a friend called me from Memphis who was like, oh my God, girl, I'm just mourning the loss of Donna Summer. And I was like, what? I like freaked out, you know? It's like, she's not old. But my dad said, you know, there's this huge controversy because they'd never inducted her into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And like all these other people have been inducted and she hasn't been inducted. And my mom was like, well, I just think it's terrible that now they'll induct her after she's passed away. And they don't induct people when they should be inducted. And my dad was like, well, they're inducting people like the you know, the Black Eyed Peas and stuff like that. My dad has no clue what that is.
Oh, really?
Yes, he doesn't really know what that is at all, you know. But it is kind of true. Like, how can you induct some of these more current bands and not induct...
And ignore...
Donna Summer.
Right.
And I said to my father, he goes, because she was really, really big, right? And I said, I can name more Donna Summer songs than anybody besides probably Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, or Madonna. I can name more of her songs than anybody else. Now, maybe that just makes me a really good gay. But, and I'm sure it does.
It does.
But that, you know, but there are plenty of us out there. And although I think a lot of her fans passed. I do think a lot of her fans passed with the AIDS crisis.
I think too.
And that also doesn't keep the legacy of an artist alive.
I know, but until then, we're going to have to keep... We will have to keep the legacy alive.
We will keep the legacy alive. So we're playing Donna Summer music, and the whole show today, it is a Donna Summer, best of Donna Summer queer cast. And Jerry Nunn sat down. You know, Donna Summer was just at Ravinia a couple years ago, and you know, she's made Chicago a stop along her... you know, her occasional tours, and Jerry Nunn sat down with her and talked. So we're going to play this interview from the past with Donna, and then Kirk Williamson and I've got the news for you. What's going on in the theater scene? Crazily enough, this summer is going to be big for theater and big for queer theater.
Yeah.
There's some great, you know, plays going on. New play at the Goodman Theater by our buddy Paul Stovall that's coming out. The Felicia Rashad.
Felicia Rashad.
Claire powerful, Huxtable. Fierce black woman.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be directing. That has got a little queer bent to it. And Rent is still going on. And the very beautiful Lone Light music up at Writers Theater, I strongly suggest.
So. And also don't forget about Crooked at Rivendell.
Yeah.
And their brand new home on Ridge, which is so exciting.
Fantastic. Scott and I went to the opening. It is right in our hood, guys. Mm-hmm. If you live on in the North Gay area of Andersonville, Edgewater, there we have a new theater, the Rivendell Theater, which is not a new theater, but new theater around. Space.
Yeah, new space.
Right.
And it's what's so great is that they always feature women.
They do.
Because there are so many lady actors and lady playwrights, and they get ignored, and that's their mission to, like...
Absolutely.
And these performances are wonderful.
And it's a lovely... it's a lovely play that's funny and moving and definitely of interest to our community.
Yeah, so go check it out.
Check it out. Crooked at the Rivendell Theater. And they have a website. I'm sure it's probably Rivendell. Rivendell.org. But Rivendell Theater Ensemble. Rivendelltheater.org. So go see Crooked. But we've got other stuff coming up. And Scott Duff and I with you. Scott.
Duff.
Named in 2011 as one of the top art fairs in the country by American Style magazine, the Old Town Art Fair celebrates its 63rd anniversary June 9th and 10th. Along the charming tree-lined streets of Chicago's historic Old Town Triangle District, view the work of 260 nationally acclaimed artists with an estimated 50,000 art lovers. The Old Town Art Fair will feature a wide range of art mediums, including 2D and 3D mixed media, drawing, painting, photography, printmaking, ceramics, fiber, glass, jewelry, and works in metal, stone, and wood. Plus, a music stage featuring national talent, cooking demonstrations, and a food court populated by local eateries. The main gate of the Old Town Art Fair is located at Lincoln Avenue and Wisconsin Street. There is a $7 suggested donation. Children under 12 are free. Don't miss the Old Town Art Fair, June 9th and 10th. For more information on the art, bands, food, and events, visit oldtownartfair.org.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
The NAACP released a resolution supporting marriage equality this weekend at a meeting of the 103-year-old civil rights group's board of directors. The organization voted to back marriage equality as a continuation of its historic commitment to equal protection under the law.
In Arkansas, investigators say they haven't stopped searching for the killer of the 25-year-old transgender woman Marcel Camaro Tai, who was murdered more than a year ago. Tai was found on Highway 334 in St. Francis County. She had been shot to death and probably dragged beneath a vehicle as the killer left the scene. The FBI says the murder was not a hate crime, and so far the evidence the police department has gathered has led nowhere.
A Colorado legislative committee has defeated a civil unions bill. The bill's death came at the start of a special legislative session ordered by Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper to push for the measure. The Colorado bill had cleared the state Senate and seemed headed for possible passage in the House. However, GOP leaders kept it from reaching the floor for a final vote.
James Alesi, one of the four New York State Senate Republicans who voted for the state's gay marriage bill last year, will not seek re-election this fall. He believes that his vote would have seriously hurt his chances in a GOP primary, saying the backing of the bill cost him the support of local Republican and conservative parties. The marriage equality measure passed 33-29 in the Senate last year.
A new CBS News New York Times poll shows that despite the attention President Obama garnered regarding his position on marriage equality, only 7% of registered voters see it as a top concern in November's election. 62% of those who responded listed the economy as their most important issue. The survey also showed presumptive GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney leading Obama 46-43%.
Zoe Dunning, the first and only openly gay person on active duty during Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and a big name in the repeal of the measure, is running for Democratic County Central Committee, 2012, 17th Assembly District in San Francisco. The vote will take place on June 5th.
Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee has declared that the state will recognize all same-sex marriages performed elsewhere. The development gives gay and lesbian couples all the same rights as opposite-sex couples, including both members of the couple being on a child's birth certificate and spouses of employees covered by insurance companies regulated in Rhode Island being entitled to health and life insurance benefits.
Transgender woman Lorena Escalera, 25, was killed in a three-alarm fire that engulfed a complex in Brooklyn. Escalera, nicknamed the Puerto Rican Beyonce, was a performer with the House of Extravaganza and had the stage name La Reina Extravaganza. It took dozens of firefighters to battle the blaze, and investigators have called the fire suspicious.
Virginia's General Assembly has rejected Tracy Thorne Begland, a gay man, for a Richmond judgeship. Conservatives contended that Thorne Begland's support for marriage equality and other more liberal leanings made him an unfit candidate for the bench. The House of Delegates voted 33-31 against him with 10 abstentions. The Senate did not vote on his candidacy, but decided to pass by the nomination.
Former Chicagoan Miguel A. Ayala has been hired as the Deputy Director of Communications for the Council on Environmental Quality at the White House. The DePaul University graduate had been communications director for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Last year, he served as a co-chair of the Gay, Lesbian, and Allies Senate Staff Caucus.
In Georgia, Shorter University librarian Michael Wilson is leaving the school after it issued new contracts to employees that include a lifestyle statement. The statement reads, "I reject as acceptable all sexual activity not in agreement with the Bible, including but not limited to premarital sex, adultery, and homosexuality." Wilson, an out gay man who is tenured, said he cannot abide by the statement and he is prepared to leave the university. More than 50 other faculty and staff members have already resigned because of the statement.
In world news, Argentina's Senate passed a comprehensive transgender rights bill May 9th, and President Cristina Fernandez is expected to sign it into law. The measure allows people whose gender identities don't match their physical traits to change their names and gender markers on public documents without gender reassignment surgery or approval from a doctor or judge. The vote was 55-0, with one senator abstaining and more than a dozen declaring they were absent.
In Iran, four men are set to be executed by hanging. All four have been found guilty of sodomy under Sharia law.
The General Synod of the Church of Ireland has passed a motion confirming its opposition to same-sex marriages, adding that heterosexual unions are the only normative context for a sexual relationship. The motion stresses the reaffirmation of Canon 31, which partially states that marriage should be a union permanent and lifelong of one man with one woman.
Croatian Prime Minister Zoran Milanovic says that the country plans to recognize same-sex marriage. The conservative Croatian Democratic Union has rejected the plan.
Myanmar held its first gay pride celebrations May 17th. Approximately 400 people packed into the ballroom of a hotel for an evening of performances, music, and speeches. Same-sex relations are considered illegal under the nation's colonial penal code, although it is not strictly enforced.
In Fiji, gay rights activists are accusing police of homophobia after the first planned Pride March to the nation's capital was canceled at the last minute. The police maintain that the cancellation was in the name of safety.
And in entertainment news, 3 months after Whitney Houston's death, her family has signed on to do a reality show. The Houston Family Chronicles, a 10-episode series, will air on Lifetime later this year. It will follow the lives of Pat Houston, Whitney's sister-in-law and manager, who now manages her estate, Pat's daughter, Whitney's brother Gary, daughter Bobby Christina, and mother, Grammy-winning singer Sissy Houston, as they attempt to pick up the pieces after Whitney's death.
The LGBT-focused Here TV network has received a Daytime Emmy Award nomination for its documentary 30 Years From Here. The documentary examines the 30-year battle against HIV/AIDS.
Crossover hip-hop artist Yitz Y Love Jordan is speaking out for the first time about his life as a gay man of color while being part of the world of hip-hop and Hasidic Judaism. Jordan, born to a Puerto Rican mother and an Ethiopian father, converted to Hasidic Judaism in 2000.
Joanna Johnson of The Bold and the Beautiful came out to TV Guide. In the process, Johnson, age 50, has become the daytime soap opera world's only out actor currently on a show. And she plays a lesbian on the serial. Johnson said she's married to L.A. club promoter Michelle Agnew, and they have two children.
After increasing pressure from Islamic groups, Indonesian police denied Lady Gaga a permit needed to perform in the country. Indonesian police also cited safety concerns as the Islamic Defenders Front threatened to deploy 30,000 members to physically prevent the singer from getting off the plane. Her tour also includes stops in Manila, Bangkok, Taipei, and Hong Kong, and clashes have taken place in those cities as well.
Ellen DeGeneres has been chosen to receive this year's Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. The talk show host, at the age of 54, is the 15th recipient of the award.
And legendary disco queen Donna Summer has died at the age of 63. Summer passed away after a long battle with cancer. Some of her best-known songs include Last Dance, Bad Girls, She Works Hard for the Money, Heaven Knows, I Feel Love, and, of course, MacArthur Park. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is Pan Man speaking. Fasten your seatbelts, frequent flyers. You're flying the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get
some culture in your life. Join the club.
For the week of May 21st, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. If you love Broadway musicals, and who doesn't, don't miss And the Winner Wasn't, the Tony Award version at Sidetrack on Tuesday, June 5th. Hear Chicago's best musical talent perform songs for musicals that lost the Tony Award in the Pride Films and Plays benefit. Your $20 ticket gets you a free drink and a chance to win fabulous door prizes. And the winner wasn't. Tuesday, June 5th, 7 p.m. at Sidetrack. For more, visit PrideFilmsAndPlays.com.
The Tony-nominated musical, Titleist Show, is now playing at Northlight Theater. This original musical comedy about four friends navigating their way through creative differences and commercial success has been called by the New York Times catnip for show queens, and the Memphis Flyer raves pretty bleepin' good. For tickets to Titleist Show, visit northlight.org, playing through June 10th.
Broadway director David Cromer delivers a powerful new production of Jonathan Larson's Tony Award-winning musical, Rent. Produced by About Face Theater and American Theater Company, Rent plays now through June 17th. Time Out Chicago gives the show 4 stars, and Chicago Tribune's Chris Jones says he has never seen a more moving, honest staging. Tickets available through AboutFaceTheater.com.
Sought after for her skills on harmonica and as a percussionist, Trina Hamlin brings her Midwestern innocence and witty stage banter to Chicago with her one-woman show, Minnesotan Blues, An Evening with Trina Hamlin. Hamlin performs at the Auditorium Theater's new Catton Landau Studio on June 9th at 8 o'clock. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Lifeline Theater continues its 29th season of Big Stories Up Close with Jane Austen's beloved romance, Pride and Prejudice, adapted by Christina Calvet. For tickets to Pride and Prejudice, visit LifelineTheater.com. Pride and Prejudice runs Thursday through Sunday through June 10th. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment. As I mentioned before, Donna Summer has been an artist and a voice that has chronicled much of my lifetime and probably for many of us as GLBT people, based on whatever decade you grew up in. If you remember the 70s, or the 70s were the first nostalgic era of your life and your time in discos or clubs or bars, Donna Summer has been a presence for us in our community. And it's always touching to be someone who interviews celebrities or individuals, and then after their passing, know that there is a conversation that you have suspended in time with that artist. And Jerry Nunn had just such an interview with Donna Summer a couple of years ago when she was coming to town, and we are thrilled to re-air that interview for you here, much in its entirety.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me, and I'm really excited about you coming to Chicago. And
thank
you. I've been studying up on your career. And it was interesting, you originally started in musicals like Godspell and Showboat. And have you thought of doing any recently?
I did write or co-write a musical for about my life called Ordinary Girl, and it's been going around and around and around for the last literally close to 10 years.
Wow.
At just about the time of 9/11, we were supposed to be going to production, and then everything kind of blew apart because of 9/11. So then I just sort of put it to sleep for a while because it was very frustrating, and I was kind of upset about the whole thing. So, it's like having a baby in you, and it doesn't come out, and you're like, oh, I'm pregnant. Give me birth.
Yeah.
And so after a while, you just have to get over it, you know.
Sure.
And so it wasn't the moment, and it wasn't going to happen at that point, and that was that. And so finally, when I got to the end of that, it was like people started coming around asking, what are we going to do with this? And as of late, I have another, group of people who are interested in putting it on. So
we'll see
what happens. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Love to Love You Baby was your first hit, and then everything kind of just took off from there. Did you always want to be a singer? Or did you want to be
an actress?
Did you?
I wanted to be an actress, and then singing came along, and so I just felt like, well, first things first.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's going to open the door for all the other things, and I probably need to do this. But actually, I sang in church, and then I started singing in a rock band, and from the rock band, I went to New York, and from New York, I went to Europe and was acting. So I kind of got to do both. I was in a musical called Hair, which is now popular again.
Right.
I was in the first German cast of that, and then from that, I did four or five other musicals in Germany, and then I had my first hit record.
Awesome. And then it just kept going.
Yeah.
I Feel Love was like so ahead of its time, and I was wondering if there's any kind of musical genre that you wanted to try but you haven't. I mean, because you've just done such a variety.
I would love to do a kind of an opera. I have written one with a friend, Nathan D. Jezer, and we've been kicking it around for a long time. It's kind of a combination of real opera, rock and roll, and every other kind of voice that you can imagine, but it's all within the structure of this one musical piece that we've done, and it's just to marry all of the different voices, voice types, because, I think that a lot of times young people don't like to go to hear opera because they don't like the way people sing, but it's all the same. They're beautiful, and we should learn to teach our children to appreciate all of it as opposed to one thing or the other.
Yes, definitely. I agree with that. And I loved Crayons, and you have even reggae on there. So
yeah.
I thought that was just so cool that you're doing that and doing different, charting different.
Yeah, well, that was the concept of the whole album. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking, where do I go from where I've been? And I just feel a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's really what music is about. It shouldn't be so much about everybody dictating to you what you should be writing. It should be about the influences in your own life and how you calibrate those and integrate those into the music that you do make and how you play with it. It's supposed to be fun. It's also, it can be cathartic, and it can also be a good, remedy for all kinds of ills, and when you don't feel good, you sing. When you feel good, you sing.
Mm-hmm.
Music is really, it's a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And being a medicine, there are all kinds of medicines for all con artist should be eliminated from allowing himself to explore all of those different medications.
I heard you attended Michael Jackson's memorial. Did you? You went to that, right?
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't.
Actually, no, I was supposed to go.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, if you've been online, you'll know I was in Paris. I had a show at the Palais de Congrès that night, and originally it was scheduled for the Thursday, the previous Thursday or Friday, and I was planning on going, and then it just went on and on, and then they kept shifting the date, and then it was impossible for me to go because I had to do that show. So the show had been sold out for so long, I couldn't not go. So I was hoping it would have been done on the day that I could have gone, but it wasn't.
Now, do you have any thoughts of recording, you know, State of Independence with him, or?
State of Independence?
Did you do a song with him,
State
right?
of Independence.
I thought there was a song that he sang.
He was on State of Independence.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. I just didn't know if, you know, you had thoughts about him or Michael Jackson, or I guess that happened so recently.
Well, I mean, I obviously have thoughts about it. I mean, I'm just, I'm really, you know, I'm heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just broke my heart. For the first 2 weeks, my brain wasn't able to grasp the concept of no Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was grappling with it, constantly breaking down, crying, and my husband was like, don't go there, don't go there. I'm like, I can't help it, I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would be okay, and then it would hit me again. I was like, Michael's gone?
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't fathom the thought of that, you know, and it was just, I think it hit everybody the same way. I think it came kind of like in waves, because you just couldn't cope with the total idea of his absence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying, even now, the same thing happens. I mean, not as frequently, and now I'm starting to feel like, okay, this really did happen. I wasn't dreaming.
Right.
Trying to figure out where to from here, you know?
I think it's amazing you've stuck your guns as an artist over the years, and, you know, dealing with music labels and all of that, you know, and trying to do all, balance the career with the music and everything, because it's just, you've just had hit after hit. I knew you had a lot of hits, but when I started researching all your career, I was like, this woman is amazing to have done all these different kinds of songs, too. It's not just one genre that you got stuck in or pigeonholed in at all.
No, but a lot of people think so when they go, oh, well, here's the queen of disco, and I just want to say, no, you don't understand. I was actually the first woman, not black woman, but woman, period, to get a rock and roll Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so it's like a lot of things that people don't realize when they say that. It's not that I take it as an insult, but it just isn't as broad as it probably needs to be, because, you know, I'm still trying. I'm still working and conquering some other fields I haven't conquered yet. But, you know, I won't stop until somebody says, you know, it's over. And I'm not going to say it, so I'm just going to keep going until I get there.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're ever planning on retiring, or you're just going
to
keep
going. Well, I don't think as a singer you need to retire unless you have health issues that prohibit you from performing at your max. I mean, I think you'll always be able to, you know, if you take care of yourself and you know, do what you have to do with your body.
Yeah.
I think you could probably sing for the rest of your life. I mean,
that's great.
It's a joy.
Yeah. Your gay audience has really stuck with you, you know, throughout the years, and you headlined Gay Days at Disney World and done all that for our community, you know, as far as, you know, so we really appreciate that, and you have tons of fans everywhere, so.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anyone that you've wanted to work with that you haven't? Is there a singer that you've ever...
Well, you know, there's so many young and older talented people. Like, I'd love to work with James Taylor. I'd love to work with John Mayer. I'd love to work with Beyonce. I'd love to work with, I can't even name all the people I would like to work with. I think this is too vast a number. Bocelli,
Yeah, I'm going to see Beyonce this Friday.
You are?
Yeah.
Great. I'm sure the show is fantastic. She's quite the diva.
Yes. what can people look forward to when you're playing at the venue? Is there certain songs that you want to play that you haven't played in a while? Or?
Well, I think this is a really well-rounded show with old and new, and I think that the new is presented in a way that it doesn't get on your nerves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where it doesn't keep you from feeling, I want my other songs, you know? It, in, that, 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 the way that it's enough so that people are brought into even the new songs and they kind of get the melodies quickly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because that's always an issue when you're breaking a new song into an audience that hasn't heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you know, like they sort of sit frozen, like, what is this? You know, mm-hmm. why is she playing this? Why isn't this Bad Girls, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, over the years I've learned ways to maneuver people into in and out of new things and where they grasp them, they get them, and they hold on to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that's key. I try not to just bombard people with new stuff and then go, okay, the second half is going to be the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in that technique or that approach. I think you have to give them little doses of what they came to hear throughout. And then, you know, when you go to something different, they're patient and they're receptive. And
mm-hmm.
and so I think it's just in the way that you present things. And I hope that, and I think we've regulated the show in such a way that it brings people in and out of the old and the new in a pretty methodical way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I you know, what I like about your, you know, Crayons is that it sounds fresh. It doesn't sound like you're trying to do any of your older things. I think yeah, I can tell. I mean, it's amazing. I was like, wow, she's really, you know, just keeps bringing up, you know, stepping it up. You know, it doesn't sound like that. You know, so.
Well, I'm trying to. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I have kids and I have ears and I see where music is going and I don't want to just stay back there. What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to try to be current, mm-hmm. as current as you can be. And obviously, the music industry has changed tremendously. And it isn't nearly as easy to have a hit record as it used to be. In my day, it was much easier. They didn't have the internet, and people weren't downloading your songs for free.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, now to have a hit, it's extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when those people that manage to do that, it's even a bigger feather to me in their cap because it is really truly difficult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of my friends thought maybe you're living in Nashville.
I am.
Okay, well, that's where I grew up. I love Nashville.
You're kidding.
No, my family's there, and I go everywhere.
Where are you at?
My parents live in Gallatin.
Oh, okay. I've been out there many times.
Yeah, but I grew up in Hendersonville.
I've been out there many times.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's so cool.
I love it out there.
Yeah.
We looked in Henderson and Gallatin originally because the farms were so nice, so then we wanted to get a farm.
Uh-huh.
And I had looked up there, and but when we discovered where the school was that our children had to go to, it was much more in town, and we decided
uh-huh.
that it was probably making that drive every day wasn't going to be pretty.
Uh-huh.
So we wanted,
yeah.
and I wasn't going to make it, so you know, I had to get closer to where the school was at. They went to Christ Press, which is, you know,
mm-hmm.
in town on Old Hickory. So
I know where that is. Yeah,
yeah.
Old Hickory. Well, it's been so great talking to you.
Thank you.
Know, wanted to you know, promote your show and let people know about it and you know, in Chicago
and
head out there, and I'm gonna have to come out and see you too.
Well, you better. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Donna, you will be missed. And Jerry, we appreciate you reminding of us of your conversation with Donna and that we had the privilege of airing it here again today.
As we followed in the dance. Gotham's heart is melting in the dark. All the sweet green icing blowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, 'cause it took so long to make it, and I never have that recipe again. So
this has been a very celebratory and bittersweet Donna Summer show. I'm glad to do this with you.
I'm glad I could
be
here.
Second only to my brother. If my brother had been able to do this show with me.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
But it's perfect with you.
It is. It's lovely. We've got a candle going.
We do have a candle.
We're going to dim all the lights, sweet darling.
Because tonight is all the way.
It is all the way.
I don't think so.
Not at all.
Paused
it just
because
doesn't
that
work.
Made me. It just. I
like,
couldn't do it. I wanted to go there. Do you have a favorite? I mean, is Hot Stuff your favorite Donna Summer song?
Yes, just totally from a completely egotistical, myopic point of view, because my name fits perfectly in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what.
And of course, on the radio.
Yeah, I like On the Radio.
And last, MacArthur Park. Oh my God, we didn't even talk about MacArthur Park. What the hell is that devilish scream?
Oh, I don't know.
I love that.
She's so theatrical.
She
right?
is, and it's just a kind of a weird ass song. What is this cake? Why is it in the rain? Why did you leave it outside in the park? Why didn't you just bring it to this
MacArthur
person's
park? Is melting.
I know.
I don't think that I can make it because it took so long to bake it.
And I'll never have that recipe again. It's like, okay, girl.
I don't know. You're a chef.
Go to Food Network. You know, you can find some sort of thing on there. That's what they should have done is a MacArthur Park cake to honor, like give a recipe just for one day.
Yeah.
For MacArthur Park cake.
Yeah.
That's what I think should be done. We should have a little contest or have people send in some recipes for what
cake was in the rain.
What cake was in the rain.
I think it was coconut cake.
I think it's red velvet, but everybody loves red velvet.
I don't love red velvet.
I enjoy red velvet. Actually, you know what I love?
I'm the only southerner who doesn't like red velvet.
I love caramel cake.
Oh, well, who doesn't love caramel cake?
I don't know.
I like Coca-Cola cake.
That's just a little too.
It's good.
It's a little too.
It's a little sweet.
It's a little too.
I believe that Heaven Knows may be one of my favorite songs of the Donna Summer. I also, of course, will enjoy the Enough is Enough, No More Tears, which Megan Murphy and I will be performing at the Sing Out Loud at the main stage on June 3rd, which we had already knew we were singing.
Right.
So I'm actually you all off. But when they asked us to do this, I looked at Megan and I said, well, obviously you're singing, Donna, because right. you don't want me. I can't be more urban than you, girl. It's just not going to happen. So, it's very cool that we had already planned on most of the...
Having a little tribute.
Yeah, that we're going to be doing the Babs and the Donna, and she'll bring it all the way home. But yeah, I don't have a Donna Summer song I don't like, so it's very hard to pick. It's like children, all those songs. So put on some Donna Summer. Go work out. Be happy you're
roller skate in your basement.
Roller skate, dance around. Cornrow
your hair.
In your underwear.
Put on your best gold lamé jumpsuit.
Dim all the lights. Love to love somebody tonight.
Yes.
I love you. Oh, that's a good song. I like that one too.
Well, and I love you.
I love you. You Hot Stuff, Bad Girl. I was trying to incorporate them all, but I can't do it.
I know.
On the radio.
On the radio.
And now we're on the Queercast.
Exactly.
We'll do it again.
Absolutely.
All right, Donna, thank you for the music.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna. We miss you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.